Well, I have to share an incredible milestone that recently was achieved at the Regina General Hospital. And this was brought to my attention from my great friend Dino Sophocleos from the hospital's Regina Foundation. He said, "Greg, you got to see the great work we're doing here." And I made even more aware of it now and hoping to pass it on to you how Regina's 500th transcatheter aortic valve implantation took place. They're well over the 500 mark now, and we've got a couple of labs here at the General. You know, one is in use right now. Soon the second cardio lab at the Mosaic Heart Center will be up and running. And a doctor who works out of the lab and can explain these procedures a lot easier than I can is Dr. Jeff Booker, who joins me now. Thank you for being here, Doc. You got to be proud of this program.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's been wonderful, actually. If we look at how the program has grown over the years from the early days when we started being really restricted to only the highest risk patients and only doing 25 cases a year to be doing over, now we're looking at getting over 100 a year, and hitting that milestone of 500 is a testament to all the people involved in the program and the great team that we have working together. So,
well, just so everyone understands, give us a scenario of who would this help and what's happened to them that they get to this point that they need you.
So the condition that we're actually treating is aortic valve stenosis. So the aortic valve in your heart becomes thickened and calcified and restricted. And so it doesn't open up the way it's supposed to. So it's a simple one-way valve. But when the leaflets get very thick, and it typically happens as people get older, it's making your heart do a lot of extra work to move the blood through. So when it gets to be more severe, the only way that can be addressed is through a mechanical means. And so historically, the only way to do that was open heart surgery, where people would have, you know, a full open heart, and on the bypass heart lung machine, the surgeons would cut the valve out and sew in a new one, and then they'd wake you up and you'd recover. For some people, a good treatment option if they also have to have bypass or aortic surgery, but they developed a technique where we can take a similar tissue valve, a bioprosthetic valve that a surgeon would put in, but have it mounted inside of a stent onto a balloon. And we can insert that through a catheter that goes in the groin all the way up to the heart without having the person have to have a general anesthetic or have their chest opened or go on bypass. So they just have some sedation and we can place the valve. And so that you can imagine, with that being a lot less invasive, people recover very well. Typically, this is an older patient population in their 70s or 80s. And so if you can spare the person having to go through all of the stress on the body of open heart, that this is a real tremendous technological advance to get to this point. So,
Dr. Booker, how many can you do in a day then with this technology?
The most we've done is 6 in a day, because we only use the one lab. And so just getting the patients in and prepared, and then when we do the procedure and to clean the room and turn it over and get the next patient ready. Right now, 6 in a day is our max that we've achieved, but that's still quite tremendous. The interesting thing is that we're probably still only catching or capturing maybe half the patients who have this specific valve condition. So if I were to put a plug out, if you look at how can we help patients moving forward with this specific valve condition, it's actually to have a family physician, which is challenging these days for many people, and have someone listen to your heart, right? Because if they hear a heart murmur, then that would lead to some further testing to evaluate to see whether you would have this. And for many people, regular primary care where someone actually listens to their heart with a stethoscope, it doesn't happen as it should, right? If we can get the word out, that's something to look at.
So. That's a good one. And do you feel it yourself too? Are there signs that you feel?
Yeah, many people, as the valve gets more severe, they start to notice. They become short of breath. They can get chest pain. They come physically, you know, their stamina goes down. One of the very difficult things is typically affects people as they get older. And so many people come, they're 80 years old, they've got a valve condition that's severe, and it happens fairly gradually over time. And so frequently they just say, I thought I was just getting older. This is how an 80-year-old feels. And so that when you treat them and fix them, they feel 10 years younger and are just so pleased that because it has an insidious onset and progression. So it's not always a dramatic symptom. So
we should note the hospital's Regina Foundation has invested over $4.5 million to upgrade both of Regina's cath labs. You mentioned one lab is open now, but a second will be soon again, right?
We've started doing the renovation in the second lab to upgrade the both the x-ray and the monitoring equipment, and we're really appreciative of all the support that allows us to do these procedures and many other things, whether it's treating coronary disease, people are having heart attacks. So the support has been very much appreciated. We couldn't do what we do without that support.
As challenging as it is in the medical world, we really still are right here in Saskatchewan, cutting edge in so many ways, aren't we?
When I looked to come back here, there were some challenges getting the program started. And if we look at how we've worked together right from day one and built a really tremendously successful program with a good relationship between the sites, both at Saskatoon and Regina, and really at the forefront with this, we should be very, very pleased. Yeah.
Dr. Jeff Booker, Doc, put me on the list of those who are very, very happy you're in our province and doing this kind of work. And together with the Hospitals Regina Foundation, it just gets better and better. I thank you for everything you're doing and all your team, too.
All right. Well, thanks so much. It was nice to talk to you.
Well, if you're up bright and early and are starting your vacation on the highway, boy, that is the perfect song and the perfect forecast. It is a beauty out there developing and going to be smoking hot tomorrow as we count down towards the next Rider game Friday night. Calgary's here, and you got to credit Kevin Martell joining me now from the 980 CJME newsroom. TSN's Friday Night Football sideline reporter Luke Wilson is going to be here for the broadcast on Friday night. And he's got a lot of social media followers, and nobody has been making everyone talk about the CFL as much as he has as of late. And lately he says the Bomber fans are the best in the CFL. The Rider fans are second. He credits Winnipeg for having better fans because, well, A, sellouts, newer stadium, winning culture, and he chose the Bombers, just the atmosphere, just a touch over the Riders. And Don here in Lapland, he had a great text. He said, Luke Wilson's great for the CFL chat, that's for sure, but disagrees. He thinks the Bombers don't have the best fans. It's the Riders. He said, you know, we sell more merchandise than any other club from coast to coast. He's been overseas, Don said, on holidays. People recognize him in his Rider gear, and he's pretty sure that Bomber fans are second to the Riders.
Yeah, it is close between those two. And certainly, yeah, I mean, Winnipeg, you look at the last couple of years, and yes, they've won a few Grey Cups. I feel like Rider fans are consistently there through the ups and the downs as well. But we travel well, too. I mean, we were talking about this. Yeah, you go on vacation, you always see. I don't think I've ever bumped into somebody who's wearing a Blue Bombers hat or shirt. Doesn't mean necessarily that, you know, because we buy more merch, we're better fans. But I think it certainly does help. And yeah, I mean, obviously here we have our, you know, we have unique things like our watermelon helmets and yeah, just things that set us apart and make us unique from other fans. And when you go to other CFL stadiums, right? Rider fans, you see green.
They're always
all
there,
over the place. And I don't know if that can be maybe as true as, you know, some teams, other fans.
Don added in his text too, as far as attendance, Regina has roughly a third of the population of Winnipeg. Our teams need to draw a lot of fans from outside of Regina, and dare I say at least half at every game are from outside of Regina, but depending on the time of the week. And
the Riders are truly a provincial team. I lived in Manitoba, and the Blue Bombers are a Winnipeg team. The rest of Manitoba, it was honestly, where I was, it was really a toss-up. Some Bomber fans, a lot of Rider fans.
Hot and dry weather. I want to move to that because here we are in a wildfire situation, which was bad. Then it was calming down, and now it's not over with. But the province putting forward money. And where are we on with these dry conditions and wildfires?
Yeah, so right now, $20 million. This is the new piece of information that we're getting from the Mo government. So this will go to people, those affected by wildfires, those that have lost their properties trying to rebuild. And so a lot of that money is going to basically help for cleanup is where we're at in that regard. We were talking this morning in the news about Highway 918 separating a couple communities. It's a link for several communities in that area up north. And people are, like, for example, in Beauval, are worried about gas and food and things like that because, you know, they're isolated. And, I mean, the wildfire agency, the public safety agency, is looking at this, as they say, on an hour-by-hour basis so that, you know, they can stay on top of this and help those who are still in that area, about 800 of them or so.
Okay, well, I'm out of time, but I also know you're going to give us a detail or two about this review of Regina Hospitals exposing some problems with doctors in Regina Hospitals. More on that coming up with Kevin Martell next. They are indeed back after a bye week. Big game coming up for the Riders, hosting Calgary Friday night. If the Stamps win, they go to 4-1. If we win, we could be 5-0. And joining me now is CJME Rider reporter Britton Gray. Good morning, Britton.
Good morning.
What happens during a bye week? Did you find out? Do players leave town, or do they just kind of hang out?
I think it depends a little bit. Each person's in a different situation. Some do head home. Some stick around. I talked to AJ Ouellette. He actually made out the Calgary Stampede for a little bit to go check it out. So
he's getting around. He's getting around. Last night he was at Shania Twain concert at Moose Jaw here.
Yeah, he's, I don't know about that, but maybe that's the case. But yeah, no, every player's a little bit different. It's about kind of that reset, you know. Some people use it to get their bodies right. Some people just use it as kind of, okay, step away from football kind of mentally, because it's a grind. It's a long season, and everyone's a little bit different. But yeah, they were back. Head coach Corey Mace loved the energy he saw from them, and this is a team looking to improve to 5-0 this week.
Well, he wanted to play last game, but they said, no, you're not ready yet. But quarterback Trevor Harris, is he ready for Friday?
Yeah, he'll be ready to go. It sounds like he was extremely close to being able to play against the BC Lions, maybe just a step or two away from clearing concussion protocol. So another week, he's ready to go here, and they get him back. We know how important Trevor Harris is to this team, and not just in terms of leadership, but his on-field play as well.
Did anyone join him that we haven't seen in a while as far as the injuries go, or was anyone missing? Let's get an update there.
Well, the good news, Sam Emelis was out there for a little bit, but he did do a lot of work on the sideline, so we'll have to wait and see how he kind of progresses throughout the week. Sean Bain Jr., he's once again kind of like Sam Emelis, out there to begin, which is more than we've seen him doing before, but then he spent most of the time on the sidelines there. So they're still working on coming back. I know those are two weapons this offense would love to see. And then Devon Campbell didn't participate really in practice yesterday. So another thing to keep an eye on here as this team, like I said, looks to improve to 5-0 this week against the Calgary Stampeders team that just knocked off the Winnipeg Blue Bombers in a big way.
Yeah, that was a fun game to watch too. And of course, it's Friday Night Football on TSN. Luke Wilson, he has done a lot for getting people to be talking about the CFL. He's got a ton of followers on social media, and he was ranking as far as who has the best fans, and he gave it to the Bombers. CJME writer, reporter Britton Gray, is he right? Is he wrong? What do you think?
I disagree. I still think it's the Rider fans.
Why?
Because, well, when you're, as I think Jamie and I said it, when you're pulling, like, look at the different sizes of the cities, right? Winnipeg is, what, 800,000 people. Regina's 250,000 people. So many more fans travel to Saskatchewan games to make sure that they get to watch it. You see Rider fans everywhere, no matter what sport it is, baseball, basketball, there's usually a Rider jersey out there. I get when you just look at it right now in terms of what Winnipeg's been doing and their sellouts. Yes, they've been a great fan base, but I still slightly give the edge to Rider fans as number one.
Well, and you look at the merchandise sales. Saskatchewan would beat Winnipeg there, I'm pretty sure, too. Speaking of which, wasn't it the Obsidian Green that kind of rescued the Riders a little financially? And they're wearing them Friday, right?
Yeah, it was one of the big reasons they were able to post a profit last season was the success of the Obsidian Green jerseys, the best merchandise sales they've had since 2018. So that has kind of helped push the team forward in terms of finances. And yeah, they're wearing the Obsidian Green jerseys this weekend on Friday there. So excited to see them and see them in action once again. I know the players love it, and obviously the fans did as well. They kind of showed the team by buying so much of it.
Yeah, I think they're a sharp jersey too. Okay, Britton, nice to have you back on the show. We'll check in tomorrow morning, all right?
Looking forward to it.
You are? Oh, good. Thank you. Someone is. Well, last night I'm driving by my old pal's house, Kevin Brace. It's looking like, what do you got going here now? There's vehicles in the driveway. There's a riding lawnmower sitting out front.
Are you stalking me?
Well, I may have. Like, what have you bought now?
We have two vehicles in the driveway, mine and Jody's.
Yeah.
And then I have a trailer with a garden tractor on it.
Yeah, like what's going on?
Well, I had to bring it in. I got to get a couple things fixed on it. I got some problems. It's from out at the lake causing me some issues.
You're not a hoarder, are you? Are you a hoarder?
Just because I have a garden tractor in my driveway?
Well, what do your neighbors think right now? It's just insightful. I'm bugging you. Okay, so we were just talking with CJMB Rider reporter Britton Gray and, of course, CFL fans fired up because of TSN's Luke Wilson suggesting the Bomber fans are better than the green and white fans. The former voice of the Saskatchewan Roughriders in-house for all those years.
What do you think? All the years. Andy Fantuz connecting from Darien Durant. That tells you how long ago. Well, you know, I heard a couple of the callers on the Green Zone yesterday who make great points. Depends what you're measuring. Are you measuring sellout crowds? Then, yeah, Winnipeg probably takes it. But when you talk about fan base, there are people all over the globe that wear Rider jerseys, that buy 50-50 tickets, that are involved in supporting the Riders. You look at any away game across the CFL, you'll always see a ton of green jerseys if the Riders are playing there. So to me, I still think the Rider fan base is the best, hands down, in the CFL.
I'm not saying it doesn't happen to Bomber fans, but it probably happens more often to Saskatchewan Rough Rider fans that when you're on holidays and if you're wearing, as I was, my Obsidian green ball cap when I was in Italy. And the people on the cruise immediately.
Oh, you're a Rider fan.
Yeah, Rider fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you can't go anywhere. Yeah. I've gone to Mexico in the worst areas of Mexico where I was looking for the perfect off the beaten path taco.
And is not advised, folks. Do not try this at home.
I found it. And the guy who sold it to me after selling me the taco out of this little stand he'd set up on the street says, "Hey, wait, don't walk away." And he goes into a leather bag. He opens it up and he's handmade Saskatchewan Rough Rider bracelets.
What?
And yes, and says, "Would you like one
for $50?"
Yeah, exactly. but it's everywhere. Yeah. That alone makes it.
Yeah,
the
no,
best fan
I, and I think that's you've just hit it on the nail on the head. That Rider fans are. It's much bigger than just who's attending the Rider games.
Yeah.
And you look at our province, and again, they talked about this on the Green Zone. People in this province who have never been to a Rider game, but own a ton of Rider gear, never miss a game on TV. I mean, Rider fans are Rider fans. It's not just measured if you're buying tickets and going to the game.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I know some of my friends over at the Saskatchewan Rough Rider store are listening right now. They listen every morning, and there you go. Obsidian green this weekend. I wouldn't mind a new hat on it.
Oh, really? Dropping. Is that a hint for me?
Well, okay, what's the size of your head? You got a pretty good
I've got a big head. I've got a big head, yes.
There's a lot of thoughts up there. So what are you thinking for the show today?
Well, we got a lot of different things we're talking about. I'm bringing Tasha Carradine on the show. She's a political columnist, writes for the National Post. She does a lot of great articles. She wrote an article recently that caught my eye, basically saying it's really forcing what's going on with the federal government and with Mark Carney as the new prime minister. His actions, his priorities are focusing Pierre Poilievre to adjust his game.
Yeah.
Because essentially the Liberals are putting into play some of the things the Conservatives have been calling for a long time. So her article speaks about while Poilievre could get away with basically name calling and mocking Trudeau, that same strategy is not going to work for Carney.
It seems, and there's things I like about Pierre, and I don't want to get too political on this, but it does seem like it's hard to take what Pierre says right now because he lost.
Well, yeah,
and I don't mean that by anything other than the guy who lost, people don't seem to be listening as much, although they feel what he says, and he is a great, eloquent speaker, and he's good opposition, that's for sure.
He very good,
to not have a seat, it seems like he's kind of been, taking a backseat.
Once the by-election happens, I think part of that is by design. I think he hasn't been quite out as in front. I mean,
I don't think you can when...
And it's summertime, and so when the fall sitting happens, the by-election will have happened. He will very likely, almost 100% guaranteed, be back in his seat, be back in as official leader of the opposition, and then we'll see by then when some of these projects should have taken hold. Are we going to see a pipeline being built? And so I think there'll be more traction, more to dig into by the time we get to fall.
Okay. What's your hat size again?
7 3/4
Thank you.
That's big, isn't it?
I had no idea that you would know that.
Yeah,
just threw that out there. See? So much is inside that head with
well,
knowledge.
I got a lot crammed up there, Greg.
Okay, Evan Bray Show starts at 8:30.